The portal is popping, and we're going to talk about it.
In a world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the book, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Fine.
What's up, everybody? We're back. It's episode 29 of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Charlie Five, and the portal is popping. Right now, it kind of looks like Auburn's been on the wrong side of it, but I think if you really look at it, none of it really comes as a huge surprise. You lose a guy in football, you lose a fan favorite in basketball, and then we're just going to talk about in general, like what does the portal look like 2 or 3 years into it? What do we think it's going to look like moving forward? But before we talk about that, we got to give a shout out to our boy Ford Stokes with Active Wealth Management. Check him out, activewealth.com, annuity360.net. Either one, you can get in touch with him. Look, I know we all like to be cowboys. We like to get on our little Acorn accounts and investment accounts and things like that and trade on our own. But we don't ever check out the fine print and check out all those fees that a lot of times it's almost impossible to out earn it in interest or gains or things like that. So check out Ford. He'll teach you how to keep your portfolio essentially fee free almost or minimize fees as much as possible. Help you kind of keep the money, as much money as possible that you earn. So check him out. Tell him War Eagle, Ford Stokes. activewealth.com. So Auburn loses a four-star defensive back when he was recruited, JD Rim, to the portal. That's one of the most recent bits of news. It's not really coming as a huge shock. I think back on sometime in November, I believe around November 8th, Hugh mentioned something about JD Rim. He said, "We're working through some personal issues." Okay, so when you see something like that, when you see a player go into the portal, you really got to take the whole context around the whole situation and understand what's going on. And I think this was sort of a long time coming, unfortunately. JD Rim, one of the blockbusters of the Harsin first class, really took advantage of LSU, I believe it's Orgeron, getting fired, and you picked off a few of those commits before they really got Brian Kelly situated, got him hired and got him in. Regardless, I think if he wasn't the top-rated player of that class, he was close to the top. And had a lot of high expectations, got a little bit of run as a freshman, and then sort of started falling down the depth chart. And then I think if you take that quote, okay, and understand what we're saying, there's probably some extracurricular issues, if you understand what I'm saying. There's some stuff outside of football that probably hindered JD from becoming, realizing his talent. But the good news is sometimes issues like this can help spark a kid to, change his career. You've seen it a bunch. You've seen guys change schools, get a different environment, and then, blossom, get better, turn things around. And that's what we're going to obviously hope for JD Rim. One of my memories of JD Rim this past season, I believe we're playing, it was one of the, non-con games, maybe Samford or something like that, whoever, one of the easier teams that we were playing, big pick. And I was sitting on that side of the field, kind of saw it the whole way. I saw him creep under, and the quarterback didn't see him. And we saw it the whole way, saw it interception. So he had some good moments at Auburn, never really fully realized his potential one way or the other, whether it was just overall talent or, off the field stuff that kept him from being better. It just didn't work out. So wish him the best. This is part of the portal. This is part of it. This is part of roster management in 2024. You got to be able to – your spots have to be maximized. If you got a scholarship, you got to be able to get the maximum value out of it. And I just don't think it was there with JD Rim. And then another thing is, I was talking about this the other day, and the constant things that I'm hearing about practice and spring practice and workouts and things like that is the past two defensive back classes, okay? The holdover class with Hugh Freeze, and then this last one coming in, the guys that are on campus, I think there may be still a few that are coming, but so far, the guys that are on campus out of these last two classes, I don't think there's been a miss. I think every one of these guys can play. And when you have some possibly some off-the-field issues and you're just not quite advancing, I mean, these young guys are coming in and they're going to be tough to keep off the field, especially at corner. You got guys like Tyler Scott, Colton Hood. All you're hearing about is how good these dudes are performing in spring. And then you got some highly rated guys, Jay Crawford, another guy that's in this past class who you're hearing great things about. So if you come in, if you're an older guy and you're not putting 1,000%, again, I'm not saying that's 100% what was going on with JD Rim, but if in general, if you're not trying to push, you can not only get surpassed, but you may be have to find somewhere else to finish your career. That's probably the more ugly side of the portal from the school standpoint is, you know, Daryl Dapprich said it the best on Locked on Auburn. It cuts both ways now. Kids can leave, and then, you know, you can be asked to leave. So, again, read it. Look at the whole context of when a player leaves. Okay, JD Rim, great talent coming out of high school for whatever reason. I think he was behind some really talented defensive backs. Sometimes that can, you know, get you – frustrated, I'm not getting run, possibly lead to some disciplinary issues. You saw the quote from Hugh Freeze last November. And then if you bring in some young guys and you're not on your crossing your T's and dotting your I's, you're gonna be surpassed and possibly asked to leave. So it could be a little bit of a motivational factor in the quiver, so to speak, of the coaches as well. It's like, hey, look, y'all can cut us. So, you know, we're going to have to do what we have to do as well. So wish JD Rim the best. What I don't know that you're going to look to bring. I don't think you really have to bring anybody to replace him. I think the portal for Auburn is going to be focused almost, I don't want to say 100% on the trenches, but mainly along the defensive line. Can you pick off a few guys to supplement that interior? I think we're looking at a guy from Indiana. I know that there's been articles written about him. I think his last name's like Bleedy, Philip Bleedy possibly. And he's a senior defensive lineman. He's played a lot of football for Indiana. He had a really good season this past year. He'll be definitely an interior guy. That's one that they're talking to. Big time. Yeah, Philip Bleedy that they're talking to right now. And then I'm sure there's going to be a couple of others pop when the portal actually opens. Maybe some familiar faces. You know, maybe you pick off somebody that you can come in, not just be a body, but be a factor. So Auburn's going to add probably 4 to 5 spots. Mostly I would say, you know, 3 or 4 of them on the defensive line between interior and edge. And then maybe look at some best player availables. If you got to go quarterback, if you lose one and you have to add one, you know, if you lose one of the younger guys and then you have to go add somebody to, you know, fill up your room, that could be something. And then obviously if you feel like there's a guy out there that pops that could make your room better, maybe challenge for a starting job, you obviously would probably take that too. And then, I don't know, wide receiver. Again, we talked about this on Zach's show. You hear a ton about Cam Coleman. He's the guy. He is everything that we thought he would be. You hear a lot about Robert Lewis coming in and being able to be a factor right away. And then you don't really hear a ton, I guess, after that. Camden Brown, you hear that he does well. Is that going to carry over into the season? Because we've heard that from him in 3 or 4 different camps. The past couple of years, 2 springs, 2 falls, Cam Brown's the guy. Will it translate? And obviously you do have the young guys coming in the summer, the young guys, your Perry Thompsons and Malcolm Simmons, but that's, you know, they're obviously going to be behind the eight ball as well. So do you look to bring in a big time wide receiver if one were to show themselves, one were to pop in? We'll have to see. So, well, football is going to be fun. Portal season's fun. I'm going to talk about the portal in general a little bit later and my opinions on it. Basketball. You have a tough season. You have a great season, actually. You have a great season that ends way too early in the tournament. And within 3 or 4 days, you know, within 3 or 4 days, you're already making roster moves. And unfortunately, the first one was, you know, probably one of the more fan favorite guys, KD Johnson, for the better part of, well, he's been here for three seasons now. And all three, I would say, were filled with super high highs and super low lows. I think there was a stretch on the Jabari team. That first half of the season where he may have been the best player on the team. That first half of the season, especially in some of those non-conference tournaments, taking over games, especially on the defensive side. And then, if I remember correctly, in that first season, he had a little bit of a wrist injury somewhere in the middle of that season. And seemingly since then, the three-point shot just left him, unfortunately. The three-point shot just absolutely left him. Now, he could finish. He could get to the basket. That was never a problem. But the three-point shot, which when you're a 6 foot two guard, okay, you're talking about going up against some of the freakiest athletes on the court. You're talking about you're typically going up against your 6'4", 6'5", 6'6", guys. If you're struggling from three, it's going to be really, really tough for you. Now, on the defensive side, he never really seemed to have much of an issue. He could guard pretty much anybody any guard out there. He could pretty much frustrate the crap out of you to the point where you're either going to turn it over, you're going to get a retaliatory foul, or, you know, he was just a beast on defense. But the offensive side was a struggle. And you saw as time went on, the minutes declined. And just overall, I think it's time for KD as well, you know, to go try to find a better spot that he could get more minutes. Because typically, as you get older, your minutes increase. And it was going the opposite way with KD. And I think with the emergence of Denver Jones, and you saw how effective it can be when you have a two guard like that, that can run, can finish, and can shoot threes, and he's 6'3", 6'4", you know, why not go try to find another one? Why not try? I mean, what's you're doing yourself a disservice as Bruce Pearl. You'd be doing yourself a disservice if you didn't go try to find, you know, a replacement. Not a replacement, but if you didn't go try to find someone over better that could take more minutes at the two, that could back up Denver, split it with him 50-50, and you don't feel such that drop-off offensively. You got to imagine, we talk about depth. We talk about depth a lot with basketball, and it's not the same. And I talked about this a little bit on the last show. It's not the same as football where one guy comes in, one guy goes out. When you sub in your second line, you can't sub in just a total lineup of offensively, I don't want to say offensively challenged, but you don't want to sub in a lineup where you're going to be handicapped offensively. So you have to work on rotations and things like that. So it's so that you can have an offensive player in there with a backup that's maybe not as strong offensively. Okay, so what if you could just sub in another offensive threat? I think that's one thing that would be – I think that's one thing you're going to see Bruce go for this offseason. And honestly, Tahad Pettiford coming in, he plays a lot of two. He could play point guard and he could play two. He is an explosive athlete that can shoot the three. So, you know, is he going to eat – would he have eaten a lot of minutes from KD? Who knows? But regardless, I'm not going to say – I'm so thankful that he came when he did. He was a jungle favorite. He could get that place going like nobody else. He could get that place fired up like nobody else. He could get his team a lot of times fired up like nobody else. And I think in general, he was a great team guy, really well liked. He did sometimes he let his emotions get to the best of him. You know, when the highs are high and you're emotional, it's great. But also when you're an emotional guy, when there's the lows, they can be just as bad the opposite way. So sometimes it led to, league leading technical fouls. You know, luckily, none of them really seemed to affect us that much. But you did see what could happen if you can't keep that all under control all the time. You could, have an issue in the NCAA tournament that could cost you. So, again, I don't think it was anything like that. I think it was just time. You're here 3 years. Your minutes are starting to dwindle a little bit. You're bringing in a hotshot freshman that could play a similar position as you. It's your last year of basketball. Maybe go try to find somewhere you can get more minutes. And we're going to miss him, but it's just part of it, man. It's just part of it. And I don't think that's it with the portal in Auburn basketball. There could be at least one more player go. It could be, unfortunately, it could be an Aiden Holloway. At least Justin Hokinson put out that up until I think it was yesterday, he hadn't really had the discussion. And Bruce had had the discussion with a lot of folks. Bruce and Steven had a discussion with a lot of folks about the future, including KD and Chad Baker-Mazar, who you feel very confident is coming back. You know, that conversation maybe not have happened yet with Aiden. So is that a sign that he could be going? And then what do you do? I think it's no secret that you have to bring in a stud point guard. You have to bring in a guy who can get to the basket when, it's crunch time and get to the line, can hit threes in crunch time. And somebody that you just know when they bring the ball down the court and in crunch time situations, you're safe. You know that this guy has got us going in the right direction. And at times, both of those guys, Trey Donaldson and Aiden, at times you felt good about it. And then a lot of times you saw the wide eyes. You saw a little bit of the moment start to take over. And 3 years in a row of early exits, you want to try to figure out a way to fix it. And I think this is what you're going to see. And it's going to be tough. It's going to be not necessarily cutthroat, but, it may seem that way. You know, Auburn's never really been on that side of it where you have to really, let people go. But you may have to start doing that. And I think if you want to win and you want to, with the game the way it is today, you may have to make some tough decisions and recruit over guys already on your roster. With guys on other rosters. The portal, the amount of guards in the portal right now is unreal. It really is. The options are outrageous. You're talking multiple guys, albeit at lower levels, scoring 20 points a game, shooting extremely high clips from three at point guard. Several guys, and we're going to learn these names. I'm sure you're going to hear more about them. They're going to start visiting soon, I would imagine, as time goes on. So obviously look for Auburn to add at least a solid stud point guard, and then you'll have to see what happens with Jani Broome and Dylan Cardwell, because Jani is obviously the big fish that you would pay – I'm not pay – The guy that you would do anything you could NIL-wise as far as helping him get deals, whatever. You do whatever you got to do to get Jani Broome to come back. And if you can't, you obviously know you're willing to do what you have to do to go get the best portal big guy out there. So probably looking to add two, maybe three from the portal in basketball. Point guard for sure. I just feel like you got to get a point guard. And then, some sort of bouncy forward/guard type position that could play, the four or could play the three, you know, a combo type deal like that, and then maybe a two guard. That's assuming you keep Janai. If you don't, obviously you got to add a center. So the portal giveth, the portal taketh away, and it's taken our fan favorite, KD Johnson. But again, I don't think it was necessarily a him spurring us type situation. I think it was, if it's not mutual, I think it was pretty close to mutual. I think it was time. So it's going to hurt. The memories are there. The memories are young. So we have to just remember that when you think about KD. Don't think about, this whole situation. Don't think about him being negative towards us, because I think both sides were sort of ready to move on. So we obviously wish him the best of luck. And I can just think about so many times. I remember his faces, you know, his emotional outbursts and things like that after we made a big play. And KD would come in. I bet KD led the league in two things. Okay. Led the whole world in two things. Number one, making opposing teams have to call a timeout, whether it be from a turnover, creating a turnover into a fast breaks scenario, or coming in and either making an opposing team call a timeout or getting to that TV break timeout. You know what I mean? Where a foul is called or something like that, and then you have to go to a TV timeout. It seemed like he would come in, something crazy would happen, the crowd would go crazy, and then play would have to be stopped. That just seemed like, I bet he led the league in that happening. And then number two, led the league in layups finishing, when I'm talking about finishing, his body on a layup finishing three rows deep in the bleachers. It seemed like the cheerleaders under our goal, they're going to miss KD, but they're probably going to feel a whole lot safer, because KD was an absolute animal. And when he would go up, he was hitting the ground afterwards, and he was sliding, and he was going deep. I mean, just the dude just went 100 miles an hour. There was no throttle. It was just full speed 100% of the time. So when he went off the glass, when he went up trying to finish, he was going down, because he's a smaller guy, so he's going to get banged around, and he was sliding, and he was rolling. So as far as being on the ground, depth in off of the court after a layup, I guarantee you he led the conference in that, the nation in that, and then creating TV timeouts and opposing timeouts. I swear he had to lead the world in that. So we'll have to, hopefully Chad can be that guy moving forward, maybe just a little bit more reined in, you know, or who knows what we find in the portal, if it could be somebody that could sort of replace that intensity. So good luck to KD, and we obviously wish him the best. Before we talk about the portal in general for basketball and football, we got to give a shout out to plainscoffee.com. Use coupon code BUTTON for 10% off every single order ever. Go ahead and mark the coffee off of your shopping list when you go grocery shopping. You don't have to write coffee on there anymore, because you can have it shipped to your front door, and it's going to be better coffee. Better coffee shipped to your front door. You don't got to get out in the heat. You don't have to get out in the cold. You don't have to get out in the rain. You don't have to get out in the sun. It just shows up at your house, on your front door, freshly ground, days before it ships, sometimes minutes, probably not, but at least a few days before it ships, it's already ground. The aroma is amazing. They got a roast for everybody, dark, light, in the middle, whatever you're looking for, they have it. And if you don't like coffee, they have teas that you can hammer down. If you're a tea person, hammer it down, plainscoffee.com. Use coupon code BUTTON for 10% off. All right, the portal in general, okay? I feel like young people, we kind of dig it, or I say we. Young people dig it. Middle-aged to the older guys, you hate the portal. It's ruining college it's ruining college sports. I'm sort of in the middle. I'm right around middle age. I absolutely love the portal. I think it's the best thing that's ever happened to from a fan perspective. Now, coaches may hate it, and if they do, that's fine. But from a fan perspective, the portal is unbelievable, especially if you love recruiting. You know, I was the guy, and when you play NCAA football and things like that, that you would recruit, you would just build your roster and then sim the whole season. You know what I mean? Like roster building to me was a more fun part of it. And now this is like an extra element that you can use to manage your roster. And I absolutely love it. I love freedom. I love the idea that the kids don't have to get bound to a school in a bad situation for, you know, whether it be they made a bad decision on, you know, not really researching the depth chart, and it's going to take multiple years for them to be able to sort of unseat someone and take over their position. I don't necessarily think that's quitting. You know, a lot of people, back in my day, you had to work your way up to the top. Well, you know, fine. If you want to do that and work your way up and play one season, a lot of these guys have bigger aspirations. And if they can go find a better situation and not have to sit out a year or multiple years, I'm all for it. I'm all for it. Because on the flip side, there are evaluation misses. There just are. Sometimes you just miss on an evaluation. There's not a click between you and the kid. And it doesn't work out. So now the coaches also have the freedom to manage their roster from that perspective, you know. And I know when you couple it with NIL, there's some problems. NIL is great in a sense, but it's also a little bit of a mess until they, you know, really get some rules in place. But as far as just the portal, I could not love it more. It extends the recruiting season. You get two action-packed portal periods in December and January, and then you get the spring portal as well. It's just like almost year-round recruiting because summer's a big recruiting time for high school. Even though there's no sports, summer's a huge time for recruiting high school because there's camps, there is visits and things like that, and you see a lot of commitments and stuff like that as well. You see big, you know, that's whenever you have a lot of your cookouts, your Big Cat weekend, stuff like that. So I just look forward to the portal now, every single period that rolls around. Basketball, I already said it, but the amount of quality players that you have to pick from, I don't even know how you do it. I don't even know how you know who to pick. For example, Stetson, they played, I believe, UConn in the first round. They got drilled, but they have a point guard. Scored like 23 points a game. Shot like almost 40% from three. He's like 6'3". Unbelievable point guard. How do you know that'll translate? You know, you had Denver Jones, who was also a 20-something point scorer at FIU on a non-tournament team. Stetson was a tournament team, but you had Denver was unfortunately on a non-tournament team. And it took him a while. It took him a little bit to sort of get comfortable at this level. How do you know a game will transfer? How do you know a game will transfer? And then you transfer immediately. It's tough. So I think what you're going to start seeing, though, and I think the tournament, I look at teams like Kentucky. I look at teams, honestly, like Auburn a couple of times with young point guards. I think you're going to start to see basketball in college is such a weird sport in general because your whole season, you know, is decided in, you know, six-ish games. You know, in football, if you win an SEC championship, it's a pretty big deal. And if you get knocked out in the playoffs, you know, it stinks. But, you know, we still, like, you really honor and look at those SEC champions for years and years and years. Basketball, you do, but it's on a much lower level. You spend your whole season, you play 30-plus games, and then your whole season, the success or failure is judged in the last, you know, 3 to 6 games, however many games you play in the tournament. So I think what you're going to start to see is when you go from a team-building aspect, you're going to start to see the gamble on freshman, highly-ranked guards. I think you're going to start to see a lot of the programs move away from that. I think, you know, used to you would see teams like Butler, the teams that like you don't really hear about a lot, your Butlers, your Davidsons, all those mid-major, St. Mary's, all these teams that can make runs, they're typically much older teams. You know, Miami, a couple of years that took out Auburn. They were old, almost all seniors, the ones that knocked us off in the second round when we had two first round picks, but they were both really young. You had a true freshman and then you had a true sophomore. So you see those teams, like the teams that are either mid majors or lower on the totem pole of the big Power Five conferences, all of a sudden they may pop and have a big season. And you look and their rosters are typically older. And then you got teams like Kentucky, who's got five of the top 10 players in the country on their roster, but they're all freshmen. And you get to the tournament and you start having issues. You start having issues getting out of the first weekend. And then you saw Auburn sort of do the same thing the last couple of years. You know, you have some hot shot freshman point guards. Aiden McDonald's All-American. Probably could be a really good player in 2 or 3 years. But that doesn't help you right now in March. So I think this is my prediction. I think what you're going to start seeing is, if they're smart anyway, if they're smart, I think what you're going to start seeing is you're going to start seeing the blue bloods shift and start sucking up all these great players in the portal. The blue bloods that are struggling. Let me rephrase that. Blue bloods that are having issues because the talent level is, the parity is just greater than it's ever really seen. But I think what you're going to start seeing, like a Kentucky, if Calipari wants to keep his job, he better go get some of the best older guy point guards, seasoned point guards that he possibly can, even though he had some amazing guys, dudes that know how to play defense, dudes that know how to survive in a big must-win scenario. I think you'll start seeing a lot of those type teams really go portal heavy. So what happens to all these hotshot guys? You think that's terrible, but I think you're going to start seeing a lot of teams that typically don't recruit well out of high school. They're going to start getting some opportunities at some of these top ranked guys because your other guys or your bigger schools are going to start focusing a lot more on evaluating and taking advantage of the portal. So again, the age won't change. As far as teams that can go on runs as far as basketball is concerned, I don't think necessarily the average age will change, but it may be the average age on what teams. You know, typically your younger teams from some of your bigger schools, I think they'll start going a little bit older. And then some of the other teams will go a little bit younger, but they'll be a little bit more talented. That makes sense. So I think what you're going to see in basketball is it just shift from the bigger schools having heavy high school recruiting. I think they'll go portal, and then I think the younger that'll open up doors for the smaller schools to have higher recruiting for basketball, higher recruiting out of high school, if higher levels of recruiting out of high school. So I just think you're going to start to see a little bit of a switch, you know. I think you're definitely going to see it. Auburn could be one of the older teams in the country next year with a couple of additions. I would be very welcome to see that. I'd be very happy to see a big time veteran team that can score. I mean, Chad's going to have played 5 years of basketball. Chaney's going to play multiple years. He'll be on his third or fourth year of basketball. Janai will be on, if he comes back, he would be on his fourth or fifth year of basketball. Trey Donaldson will be in his third year. If you go find you a veteran guard that played at a high level, you may have two guards with a lot of experience. Denver, a lot of experience. So I think that's probably that's my prediction on what you'll see moving forward out of some of the teams that are traditionally your blue bloods or at least playing at a high level right now. I think you'll start seeing those guys go portal heavy, and then the guys that would be your older teams may get a chance to pick off some of these higher ranked kids, and they may have some really talented kids come in that can play early. So basketball portal is going to be fun to watch moving forward. Football portal, I don't really think a ton is going to change on football. I don't even really think football portal is that out of hand. I know you've had some freakish scenarios like the Caden Proctor, go to Iowa, take a couple checks, and then come back to Alabama. You know, I really think that's a one-off. It's really terrible that happened that way. But I think that's really a one-off scenario. I think the biggest where the portal hurts is when there's coaching changes, because there's really nothing you can do about it, especially with the calendar. You just have to grin and bear it, basically. So especially like when you have a team like Alabama, who it's not really a firing of a coach, but it's a coach that's had a lot of success that's stepping down. You know, you could see it. You know, Kirby Smart talks about how much he hates the game the way it is. If he were to get tired of it and step down and go to the NFL, like that, Georgia would have a very similar issue of players going elsewhere. But I don't think you're going to see just like a program that's firing on all cylinders, one of their better players going to a competitor that's also firing on all cylinders. It's going to be a lot of the same. It's going to be, you know, dudes looking to up their game from going from maybe a smaller team in a big conference to a better team, or going from a, you know, a G5 team to a P5 team. You're going to see a lot of that, and you're going to see it go the opposite way, where kids at Power 5 schools aren't necessarily performing where they need to perform, and then they move down. But you have so many players on the team, you have to, at least I think, you may need more of a mix, but I think you really got to focus still more on the high school side, because you got to build culture. Football is a culture. Like it's a big time culture deal. And you got so many players, you kind of got to have a lot of those that have sort of been in the system and know how things work to be able to make it happen. So I wonder if they'll continue to have two portal periods for football, just because of the calendar and the way the coach, I know they move signing day for high school a little bit of ahead of the portal period opening, so it's not happening at the same time. That may help a little bit. But I mean, NFL free agency only happens, I think, once a year. It's, you know, it just opens up and sometime in the spring, and that's when teams kind of move guys around. I don't really understand why that couldn't work. If we're going to go to a more NFL-ish type model, why not just do, you know, sort of copy that? It seems to be working. You know, it would hurt not being able to get guys in for spring, but I honestly think with the way the calendar is, it might be welcomed from a coaching perspective, because, you know, it gives you time to sort of focus one way or the other. You know, focus on high school over here, and then I know when my portal period opens up, it's one time. I got ample time to analyze my spring roster and know what I need, and kind of know where everybody sits that may be looking to go. So I'll know where, you know, who to go add. That could be something that may happen. I think that might make it a little bit better. But on the flip side, from a fan perspective, heck, I like all the different periods. I like having a winter period. I like getting dudes in here in January. And then, you know, it's fun also in spring when you can possibly add, you know, a couple of under the radar guys. So portal's big, but I don't think it's going to be as much of a factor in football as it is in basketball. Basketball is going to be a big portal sport. Huge portal sport. It really kind of already was, if you think about it. There's a lot of transfers in basketball even before the portal is really a thing. So the portal's popping. Auburn is going to lose some folks. Auburn's going to gain some folks. Okay, so when we lose someone, look at the whole context of why, of everything that was around that, everything around that guy leaving. Look at off the field stuff, look at on the field stuff, on the court stuff, look at their production, things like that, as it relates to where we need to be. And don't just all of a sudden assume that every time you lose somebody that the sky's falling, because it go like I said, like Dap said, it goes both ways. You can add, you can subtract. And I think if it's utilized right, you can really – you know, you can really supplement your roster. You can really elevate your roster in a short amount of time and turn, you know, a disappointment this past season into a positive very quickly, very quickly. So let's see what happens. It's going to keep popping over the next several weeks. And then when the portal period actually opens for football, it's going to be outrageous. So y'all hang in there, and I'll keep you posted on it. Follow me on Twitter, @_Charlie_5. Like and subscribe to this video. Comment. I will respond. I'll respond to every comment. So if you want to have a conversation, you got a question, fire it in there. I'll answer. Hit me up on Twitter. I have tons of folks. We talk all the time on Twitter. I love the interaction. Love the interaction. That's the only reason I'll really do this, is for the interaction. So I really appreciate it. Let me know your thoughts on the portal. Do you think it's great? Do you think it's bad? Do you think we should do away with it? Or do you love it like me? You love it like me. So y'all have a great rest of the weekend. Let's see what happens over the weekend recruiting wise. Out of the high school ranks, I think we've had some huge visits. Will they pay off soon? Next week could also be a big week for recruiting with A-Day. You always have a lot of excitement around A-Day. You may pop off a few commits there as well. So y'all hang in there, War Eagle, and love talking about this stuff with you. So y'all check me out next time. This is episode 29, closing in on 30, 29 of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.